17 miles away from one home to another.
What?
17 miles from one home to another.
What does that mean?
That means where I live is one home and the other home is where you live.
Oh. How long does it take to get here?
Well, this morning I was out ahead of the curve a little bit. You know, I made them check it, but I was able to boogie central right down to Mockingbird. Normally I come Abrams, you know, all the way. Stay away from that thing. It pays to be ahead of the pack.
It's 7 hours sleep. It does take getting used to. It's not tough as getting used to.
But I remember Sally.
Seemingly,
your husband asked me one time how far it was.
I did wake up.
And I said, I don't know, 50 to 70. It is 70. It's
pretty good guess.
I'd like
to feel better. You got a cousin?
Yeah, that'd be your first cousin I've always.
I got a ton of cousins.
On the other side, this was a sister of Larry who passed away about 2 years ago.
Larry.
Sally, I refer to as was Larry's sister. His, they're fathers. They father.
Oh, do you think that if we asked Terry, he would sign an affidavit that you actually have?
That's on the other side of the relationship where I'm at. So that's
no, I just brought him in as a shill.
I mean, he could prove that, like, Terry, you're from America or something?
No. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We got to we ended at chapter 15. I mean, verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And we study the next verse too. Huh?
We did the song of fools too.
And it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Whenever thorns are mentioned in the scripture, it's a type of Esau, or the flesh. Esau and Edom, you remember?
Would that have to do with mental torment by any chance?
When all other woods are kindled, their sound does not travel far. But when thorns, or Esau, or the flesh are kindled, their sound travels proudly, so as to say, we too are like wood. In like manner, the fool crackles to make their presence known. Now we can go on and on about that. But remember, Jacob and Esau were twins. According to many in the scriptures, Cain and Abel were twins. Jacob tricked, he tricked his little brother. He actually tricked his older brother. So as he would get the inheritance. And then what did Esau do? Why in Esau is always a type. The scriptures are clear. It says God says of Jacob, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Jacob
the reason he loved Jacob is because Jacob came to the end of himself. Remember, he finally admitted who he was to the angel. He said, my name is Jacob. Jacob is the way of the snake. Esau was obviously the way of the snake because they were twins. But the moment Jacob admitted who he was, Jacob, he was the Antichrist. Then when he admitted it, and the angels said, what? You shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. So Jacob died, and Israel was born. On the other hand, Esau, what?
I just saw, I never saw beyond the surface. When he said his name was Jacob, he wasn't saying, my name is Jacob. He was saying, my way of life is the way of the snake. It's
right, that's what your name means.
Yes, it's how you conduct yourself, not just the title of your skin.
Just for those of you who haven't heard this before, Jacob never used his own name. He always son of, until he wrestled with the angel.
It's kind of interesting, too. You go through life blaming your father or your heritage or whatever, rather than taking responsibility. I'm the Antichrist, not somebody named.
Well, again, we do this every time we blame somebody else for something. And we're crackling like fools. We're of the way of the snake. There's never, 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 never an issue that takes place in your life that isn't from the hand of God. It's impossible. But your mind transforms it into either, well, into making you a cosmic victim of something.
That was real easy for me to see last night in Bible study because it was happening to Gary. But he was telling the story of his travails with this customer that wouldn't pay him and fighting and going to court and all the stuff. And it was just as clear as day. It was like Gary was telling the story of what God did, how he orchestrated the situation for his purpose. Reading a script. It was easy to see because it was you.
Yeah. Everybody understand this? Just think about how you think, how you, your whole life. You know, even if you don't admit it and say that you're a victim, you secretly believe you're a victim because, and the reason you know you do, because you can conceive of a way that you could have gotten and done something differently.
Idea of wrestling with the messenger or the angel. Everybody has that plight.
And the name of the place that the wrestling took place was Peniel. That Peniel is a Hebrew word that means the face of God. So you can't see the face of God and live. So when he wrestled with the angel, Jacob, as the way of the snake, died.
He wrestled until the day dawns and the day star arises.
Now the only question is, are you still wrestling with the angel, i.e. being a victim? Well, things, and this is the reason this happened to me, because are you still nurturing your inner child instead of killing the son of a bitch? How much? I mean, when you conceive of, if you could look at your life, I bet that you'd find that the activities that were going on in your Jerusalem, your temple, your mind, that they were either
justifying yourself or showing how you've been a victim. Because there's always a what if or an if only.
Looking for a way out.
Now, Gary has spent most of his life being a victim of Judy.
Most?
All?
Since I met him.
Even before you knew her.
So, and again, the crackling of fools, everybody doesn't hear it. The crackling of fools is what's going on inside your mind. It never stops. It's just, look at me. But,
I know what I should have said.
This is what, you have a fight in your mind.
I know what I'll do.
Yeah. Like I did when I was a kid, I always got beat up by Mark Frick, but I always in my mind I always beat him up. I always won. Did I ever tell you about Mark Frick?
Was it Frick or Frick?
Frick, F-R-I-C-K. What if he's listening? Wouldn't that be funny?
I don't be very funny.
He's probably mad. He's going to come over and beat you up.
Yeah, this time I know what to do.
Tell him to call Glenn Whitley.
He was the commander of the gunship in the Gulf of Tonkin and started the Vietnam War and ordered the shot. I love that story. Son of a bitch got what he deserved.
Really, he was just psychically striking back at you.
No, he wasn't. He didn't need to psychically strike back. He always won. I don't make a good victim, though.
Or a fashion model.
Now, where did that come from?
No, I didn't say that. It's just
huh?
John Bojo said it.
John Bojo said it? The crackling, for as the crackling of thorns under a pod, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Now the word, that's one of the few bad translations in the King James. Oh. It means aware in the Hebrew. It makes them aware of reality. Surely oppression maketh a wise man aware, and a bribe destroyeth the heart. Now, what is a bribe? From a spiritual standpoint, a bribe is getting a just getting what you think you deserve for your work or for your activity. Can you see that for a minute? If all of our being is to be in 100% on the Father for everything, and that our quote-unquote labor is to meet a need, then if we don't think that we get the right thing, if we don't think we've gotten enough, or if we don't think we've gotten the right response for our efforts, then we're asking for a bribe. Even if this will eventually hit you in all arenas. Even the right response from somebody that you don't think gave you the right, didn't acknowledge you, or whatever it is, but the bribe destroys the heart. And it makes you come to the place where your conscience is seared as with a hot iron so that you can't even see the difference between soul and spirit because you've spent your entire life trying to get bribes instead of the moment of dependency. Now, this is really, really, really important.
I'm not following this because when I hear the word bribe, I'm thinking of someone of lesser stature offering something someone of greater stature in order to get something. Is that what you're Who's bribing whom?
You are receiving a bribe every time you don't think you've gotten the right response, the right payment for your presence or your effort. Or if you got to hear this. The predicate is that everything is exactly as it should be from the hand of God, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then if you come in and say hi to me and I ignore you, then what happens? What's that? What's the transaction? Your heart is destroyed because you expected something other than what you got from the transaction.
Okay.
That's a bribe.
Well, if you accept the bribe, then your heart is destroyed. And if you want the bribe, your heart is destroyed.
Right.
What you're saying.
Right.
Not trying to tell people what you're saying.
It's not, the bribe isn't necessarily the payment. The bribe is what you expect.
I understand what you're describing. It just seems like it shouldn't be called a bribe.
Well, it isn't in Hebrew, obviously.
Oh, okay.
It's payment for services rendered.
Okay. It's not what our little definition
is. No,
right. Okay.
I mean, it is, but it's much more than that.
This one says gift.
Same thing. Same kind of thing. Same kind of idea. Gift or bribe or deserved payment.
People who get bribes usually are expecting them because that's the way business is carried out. And so we go around expecting that.
Yeah, in some cultures, a bribe isn't even considered a bribe. And that's what's problem. That's the problem with us because we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And so once you know that, and you know that your only sustenance comes from God and Him alone, He's your only satisfaction, He's your only worth, He's your only sustenance, then to expect anything, but in the culture, you expect to be treated fairly. You expect, John sent this wonderful thing about niceness, but you expect people, you expect some transaction.
That example, I expect you to do something for me.
Because you said hi.
Right. But I mean, it's just I'm expecting something from you, and you don't pay me what I expect.
Right. I mean, he didn't say anything to me, but I could see it all over his countenance. When I told Jeff the other day that I hated small talk, he's barely talked to me since then. And I mean, I love it, but...
You appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You noticed.
But the point of it is, you got to hear what we are not citizens of this world. This isn't our home. This isn't our dwelling. Our dwelling is the heavenly kingdom.
So if you're dealing in bribes, if your medium of interaction is bribes, your heart is.
Right. Yes. So it's far more than, I mean, this can be dismissed, right? You can, well, I'm not taking a bribe. But if you could see from his God standpoint, every time you just expect a bribe, and you don't even know it's a bribe, because it's not called a bribe.
So you don't get it.
Yeah. The consequence is massive.
Well, it's everything, because what does it do to your heart? The minute that it happens, then your heart is covered, or your conscience, or whatever they're going to call it. You're covered over, and you can't even see light because somebody offended you. You didn't get the response you thought you deserved.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, and the other thing that you were saying was, like, people who are higher or lower, we're always the ones that are higher that expect the bribes. It doesn't matter what social situation you're in or what authority.
Oh, we're going to get into that a whole bunch in a minute.
Pay me what you owe me.
So when you say you don't like small talk, and we don't have small talk with you, that's a problem.
Well, it is if it isn't real.
Real small talk.
No. If you're doing it because of something I said, then your silence is another form of a bribe. Instead, because you're still trying to be instead of just being.
There's no way out.
No. Well, it goes back to the horizontal relationships as opposed to two people being in a
right. God doesn't give anything, care anything about a relationship between two. He doesn't give anything about relationships between this way, between people. The mystery of God is that every relationship is with Him, and if you're born of Him, then everyone else that's born of Him will be in the right relationship. You'll never ever consider it. So if you're considering or thinking about or expecting or responding to a horizontal basis, that's not anything. You can't do it. You can't do anything about it. You're always wrong. But what you're really wrong about is you're not in relationship to the Father. That's why if you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, then you will love your neighbor as yourself, because He is that. But the minute you try to do it, then it doesn't matter what the horizontal relationship is. The minute you try, then it cuts off the relationship to the Father, because you have elevated yourself by the act of trying. You've taken something other than the lowest seat.
So this thing you've always talked about utilitarian relationships, that's the world of the gift. That's the world of the brother.
Right. So you've made then your Father, Jesus will say to you, you've made my Father's house or my Father's temple or the house, this temple of God, to be a den of thieves, because you're running around either stealing or you're accepting bribes or giving bribes. It's all a transaction as opposed to a life. Not people who are, He works, sure. Everything in time and space is the womb for the mystery of God, for the bride. But everything in time and space is either the birth or the afterbirth. So, sure, God will use you. I mean, God will use whatever it is you do, but will He use you? The you there is the issue. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about Terry. It's about you as the vessel for the Holy One of Israel that has no longer his own. You're not the king of your temple any longer.
King of the temple is a bad deal. But where I come from, and the reason for that question is it's really through AA involvement. And I don't hear God tell me things. I hear God, I see God work for people.
Well, I know, but you will see as more and more of the blinders and more of your ear is circumcised, then you will begin to see that 99% of whether anything is in AA or in the world is a transaction between people in order to have a semblance of peace, or in order to have a semblance of an objective in time and space. The objective in AA is not to drink or not to use drugs. And that's fine, but it's still an objective. It's still it's a very good one. But there's another thing that you need to see, and that is that coming to the place where there is no everything, every thought, every word, every deed, every aspect of your life is as unto God instead of unto men. And if that's the case, then what that means, that means I'm going to do my best for... No, it doesn't. It means that none of the actions, nothing about you, and none of your words or life or anything, the results are never your business. Can you see why this is so important?
This is the circumcision of the heart where you no longer need the praise of man.
Right. And again, let's read it, what it says. We're spending a whole damn Bible study on one verse.
And you're complaining?
Who can imagine?
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad or aware. And that's why you can't reign with him without suffering with him, because you can't know this stuff unless you've suffered. And then you finally reach a point where suffering is not even suffering anymore, because you glory in affliction. But anyway,
And a gift or a bribe or a transit destroyeth the heart, destroyeth it causes you not to be able to see because it puts a veil over the over your eyes. Now this is real simple, but it's, I mean, I've made it, because I'm such a terrible teacher, I've made it to sound, it's not complicated. Once you leave the arena of cause and effect, then it's, this isn't anything difficult, it's just being instead of trying to be. And it, and you see that if I expect a response, which I do all the time, I expect you to hear what I'm saying, then boom. Then what I'm saying dies because it's not causing death in me. You got this? John, do you understand? But the point, the crackling, the reason this is right next to each other is it's that crackling is all the transaction, the voices in your head as a result of that. Anybody not understand?
There's still a place for transgression and forgiveness.
Oh, of course. Yes. That's always the predicate.
No, I mean, it's Carrie's pacemaker.
Carrie's pacemaker.
Never.
Oslo Calling.
Oslo Calling.
That's the name of my book.
Everybody's got a book.
Yeah, we need a book.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
In interaction where there's an assumed conscious or subconscious pride, or the wrongdoing, the expectation.
Yeah.
Because they're
I mean, it's both. It's the receiving or expecting to receive or the giving. Because it's anything that you're, the sin is because it came from that which is cursed. Remember we talked about Cain and Abel, the offering of, so you're digging around in the dirt trying to figure out what the best offering is. You know, I spend my whole life just
like
trying to satisfy Harry, you know, and trying to make sure that he's appreciated. And
boy, that would freak him out. He started doing it. A couple of years ago, he gave me a compliment.
Yeah, that would be scary.
Don't like it at all.
No, but this isn't this. It doesn't matter what these words are and what I say, unless it penetrates it. Because what we're talking about is breaking the system or the template that has defined all of our transactions.
God, I just saw that. You know, the way of the snake is always at work, even in this room, dodging these words and finessing and.
It's only at that table.
That's the timeout table. This is the laser zone. Timeout.
What does this have to do with like taking the lower seat?
Because the lower seat, the lower seat never has anything. You don't expect anything.
But you're told in the scripture that if you take the lower seat, you'll be.
But yeah, but it's like the minute you're aware you're doing it, then you've lost it.
Yeah, I've been a servant here for 20 years now. When am I going to be king?
Wait a minute, where's the lowest?
No.
Where's the lowest?
No, no. The other thing is like, no. You know, it's like that's why Jesus said, "Many will come to me in that day, saying, 'Lord, I took the lowest seat.'" If you're aware that you're doing it, then you belong, and then it's.
In fact, let me show you my notes.
Yeah, these are the notes from the Bible study. In fact, I wrote there's a whole bunch, you know, that's why the people,
people are the letters and not the some silly, not my notes or anything. You know, my only function is that whatever I see that has been, it's if you agree, it's duplicated in you, i.e. repentance. Because all of these things are we never, you know, without the cross, the preaching of the cross, we would never consider these things. Because this would be talking about those guys over there that are giving bribes or taking bribes. It would never be seen as you when you expect a transaction or a response to your whatever, you know.
That scene where Christ talks about, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. Responses.
When did we do that?
We never did that.
We never did that.
As opposed to, on Tuesday, I gave a dollar to a homeless guy for a meal, and last week I did this.
And I brought sandwiches down.
And I worked really hard for 20 years.
Yeah. That's the proof that you're still wanting a bribe, a gift.
You're doing it as a hireling. You're doing it as a bribe.
That's why I love it when people say to me, that's too personal. I won't do that. That would be like taking a, that would be like making a basket from a stepladder. So,
you're above that.
I'm above that.
In this case, it is a cognitive argument.
We could spend another hour talking about what it means that surely oppression maketh a wise man aware. This is why, because without the oppression, and really what is oppression? The worst kind of oppression there is to this beast that we call the human race. The worst kind of oppression that there is the preaching of the cross. There is no other, there's no greater oppression, there's no greater, because the cross will crucify you at every possible juncture of our life. Everything that we think we're doing right, boom. And so,
in response to that, I'm really a truth seeker, but not that way. I don't want to go that way.
Well, I don't want to go that much truth.
Yeah, let's find it some other.
Yeah, I'm a truth seeker, but I don't want to know that all my seeking is as if blowing in the wind or chasing wind. I'm a truth seeker, but I don't want to know that the end of that seeking is a fading grass or dying dead grass or a fading flower. Oh, I'm a truth seeker, but I don't want to know that it's all been just a bunch of smoke in the wind.
That guy ruined my life.
Vanity is so rooted in the heart of men. I love this. I'll never get it right, but it's approximately this. Huxley said this, right? Adam, vanity is so rooted in the heart of man that those who write about it want the glory of having written it well, and those who read it want the glory of having read it. There's no escape. That's why abandonment of self is the only answer. Taking no thought for your life. Do you ever count how many times Jesus told us that not to take any thought, to abandon ourselves?
You can't fall back when you broke me, take it in there's no way out.
Because all of this, the fact that you're all of your truth seeking. Is God mocking you? I mean, the fruit of it, God's going to mock you. I mean, that doesn't seem fair. Well, God never promised anything to be fair. Remember, fair was the four-letter word we couldn't say around here? All right, take a big guy. I'm tired of talking.